Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hello, welcome to the Autism Detectives. This is Patricia Lemmer, the author of Outsmarting Autism. I'm happy to have as my guest today Jen Kozak, who is a like soul. She's a licensed professional counselor, as I am, and a warrior mom advocate, and the author of the best-selling book, Healing Without Hurting. Hi, Jen.
Hi, how are you, Patty?
Terrific. How are you today? Are you keeping cool?
Yeah, trying to. It's a little cooler today in Connecticut, so it's nice out right now, actually.
Well, you're lucky. I'm 95 in Pittsburgh with no air conditioning.
Ah.
I'm a little sweaty.
Oh.
So, Jen, you've been a warrior mom for a long time. How old is your son?
So Evan will be 19, so he's 18, and we've been at this since he was 5, was our first introduction into all of the biomedical stuff. Yeah, he's about
And you have a daughter, too.
I do. So my daughter is 16, she'll be 17 in January, and she is not on the autism spectrum, although has the condition called PANDAS. So, again, it seems to be, you know, prevalent in families, it's seemingly, where we have one child, you know, with more neurological problems and, you know, developmental delays, and then one, you know, with other types of psychiatric issues and so forth, you know, all leading back to the same roads of autoimmune.
Wow.
So, yeah. So,
were you a counselor before children?
Yeah. So, I've been a counselor since 2001. 9/11 was actually one of my first introductions into trauma. I was working down in Silver Hill Hospital in New Canaan, Connecticut at that time. So, yeah, so I was a therapist for a while before having children. And, you know, I worked with psychiatrist's offices for years, you know, treating kids with a whole host of different psychiatric issues and adults.
Right.
And, yeah, so I've been doing this for a while.
So when did you start going down the potentially dangerous meds road of looking at underlying biological pathologies to mental illness?
So, you know, it was quite a journey. I mean, in my earlier years, you know, the pharmaceutical companies would come in and give us lavish dinners. They would tell us why every kid needed to be on medication for ADHD and so forth. And it seemed like any time a rep came in, you know, it seemed like whatever the drug was for that particular week was the drug that everyone was then prescribed.
Right.
So I started getting a little bit weary about all of that. And I also saw some of the side effects of some of these kids on psych meds and adults as well. And I would ask simple questions like, oh, has anyone checked the thyroid condition of even an adult with anxiety? But it was interesting when I started realizing that psychiatry was the only branch of medicine that was never doing one lab test to test for any underlying pathology. And so,
right.
You know, when my kids, you know, especially my son was 5 years old and he was exhibiting OCD, anxiety type symptoms, as well as, you know, some ADD symptoms, I started questioning, like, knowing that I did not necessarily want to go down that road and trying to figure out what else I could do to help him.
So he was not one of the younger kids who stopped talking or regressed.
So, you know, it's quite interesting because when I look back, you know, at his timeline. You know, he came in, you know, he was 32 weeks gestation, you know, he kind of came in with seemingly some issues, you know, with motor skills and so forth and so on. But when I look back at video, I could clearly delineate between a child that was starting to develop language, for example, and then, you know, by the 16-month, two-year mark, he was hardly looking at the camera. You know, we would put something in front of him, you know, such as a drum set. You know, most, you know, 18-month-old, two-year-old little boys would be banging on that thing to the heart's content, and he just sort of looked at it, like looked at the sticks and wasn't even really quite sure what to do with them.
Wow.
So that was like, that was a little bit concerning. He would also start having like staring out spells where, you know, I was concerned, you know, is he having a seizure? You know, what's going on? Because, you know, his eye contact was less. And, you know, truthfully, you know, having a newborn little girl right behind him, you know, I hardly noticed until going back in the, you know, in the footage and noticing, oh my goodness, you know, at his one-year-old birthday party, you know, he was a lot more animated, and he was pointing at the camera, and, you know, he had some corrugated syllables, you know, that he was actually starting to try to communicate, and that by, like, 2 years old, that was kind of going away. So although he never, like, fell really, you know, all the way back to his milestones, and it seemed to have come on sort of young, and maybe even from birth, but, you know, noticing that there was a difference, you know, for example, from his one-year birthday party to his second-year birthday party. There was a
clear
difference.
Aren't we lucky we have video cameras to document that?
Exactly.
In the past, the doctor said, oh, you just didn't notice.
I just didn't notice. And they would tell me things like, oh, you know, he's a boy.
Right.
Oh, you know, he's going to have a less than perfect immune system because he's, you know, he's a preemie. So, you know, the gaslighting becomes very, you know, very convenient, unfortunately, for us.
Yeah.
You know, you start questioning your own sanity.
So what road did you go down?
So, you know, when he was about 5 years old, you know, my aunt, who was always a champion of alternative medicine, you know, would look into his eyes and say, you know, Mom, I think he has food allergies. And I would say, nah, you know, my aunt was a little wacky at times. We always thought she was a little too far out there. You know, she would, you know, cure her own breast cancer and go do all these diets, and, you know, she was allergic to everything. And so I kind of took her advice sort of lightly until she sent me an article about malabsorption and children with apraxia, which was Evan's first diagnosis. So apraxia being more of a motor problem. You know, it used to be called pervasive developmental disorder before, you know, they just widened the umbrella of autism. And, you know, so when he was 5 years old and she sent me that article, I thought to myself, you know, maybe, you know, is there something I can do about this? And that's kind of what started me on my path. And I actually consulted a naturopath who had just opened up a practice only 10 miles from my house. And that's kind of what led us to the exploration of what else could be going on with him.
Weren't you lucky to have a resource so close?
So close. And my husband actually brought the business card home because it was the guy that he was working with. It was his wife that was opening the practice. So it was like, you know, the synchronicity of it all, like, wasn't an accident.
Right.
That's how I look at it.
And so what a naturopath. I've had several naturopaths on my show. I've had Jessica Tran and Darren Engels, and you know them, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And the approach that a naturopath takes is very different than an allopathic doctor. So what were the first things you tried?
You know, well, you know, the first thing I noticed was that the child, my son was 5, and she spent over 2 hours with us. So that was the first thing I noticed. The second thing I noticed was she would do a whole battery of testing on him and look for things like heavy metal toxicity and gut health and nutritional deficiencies. And, you know, I would even ask my pediatrician, you know, what about, you know, could Evan have, you know, some food sensitivities? Could he have some nutritional deficiencies? And she'd be like, oh, no, all kids are deficient. Do you see their diets these days? I was like, oh, okay. Not realizing, like, that wasn't normal. So,
right.
So when I started recognizing, like, how did all this heavy metal get into my son's body at 5 years old? And how is his, you know, and she would ask me, like, a million questions, like, about, you know, his bowel movements. And she would look into his into his ears and check his fingernails for lines for zinc deficiency. And, you know, and said, oh, I think he may have, you know, a few genetic mutations that might be preventing some of the nutrients from being absorbed and so forth and so on. So she sort of opened my eyes to the world of biomedical treatment, by the way.
So how did all those heavy metals get in there?
Right. Well, that's the big question, right? So, I mean, I'm sure some is, you know, transmitted through, you know, the placenta, and I'm sure, you know, there were, I sat on, like, chemical bags as children, right? We obviously didn't have the amount of toxicity that we have in today's world, but, you know, it was there. So I realized that some of it could have been from that. Obviously, the vaccinations, I think, contributed to it. We already had an overactive immune system, and, you know, that is potentially a potential cause for it. You know, a lot of our food supply and our pesticides have a lot of heavy metal. People aren't aware of that. You know, even when we try to feed them as best we can, I think sometimes that, you know, that's an issue. Like, so, you know, we have arsenic and applesauce, and, you know, our bodies are supposed to be able to handle a little bit of, you know, a little bit of poison. But, you know, what I couldn't believe the high amounts of all of these different metals in his body.
So did you change his diet at all?
So, yeah, so at that time, you know, the first thing we recognized is that he had a dairy, gluten, egg sensitivity. So I remember crying for, like, 3 days because the last meal he had just eaten was, like, you know, a pizza. So I was wondering how on earth I was going to actually accomplish this. And it was a whole lifestyle change for us. But we, you know, we did pull it away from him, and we immediately started noticing that his language was getting a little bit better, his eye contact was improving a little bit, and, you know, we did a lot to heal his gut. You know, besides pulling the foods, we really did, like, you know, we did L-glutamine and we did slippery elm and a few other things to really help the integrity of his gut wall. So when we were doing these things, we immediately started to see results. And then I started
reading. So these were supplements that you added?
So a lot of them was, like, GI Restore, I think was the name of the supplement brand, but it basically had things like slippery elm and other herbs that would, you know, it had some L-glutamine in it. It had some, you know, dandelion root extract in it. It had some aloe. So it was, like, going to help strengthen, you know, the gut lining to prevent, like, a leaky gut. Because once we started doing even additional testing, we were noticing not only was he food sensitive to gluten, dairy, and egg, which were the three biggest offenders for him, but there were other foods that he was also sensitive to. And so, you know, the very first thing we did, even before detoxing, like, I know a lot of, you know, parents are just want to do that, obviously, when you see how many toxins are in the kids' bodies. We want to detox, but, you know, my naturopath is very, you know, conservative about it because she recognized that we needed to get his gut healthy. You know, the last thing we want to do is, you know, put a kid on something to detox him if he's so constipated. You know, Evan would probably, you know, go to the bathroom every 3 days, which at that time I didn't realize wasn't normal.
No.
You know, so I noticed that, you know, his bowel movements became more regular as well when we changed his diet and, you know, started to, you know, address the underlying issue. We never put him on Miralax, but I know that that's a very common thing a lot of parents do because that's what the pediatrician tells us to do. You know, I had some sense even back then. You know, I put him on Stena and other things, magnesium. You know, we started putting him on magnesium and, you know, giving him plenty of fluids. But at the same time, we really had to address the food sensitivity. So we, you know, we did that. We did it very, very strict for many, many years, and that was very helpful for him overall.
Good. And it was no specific diet. It was just taking out the things that he was reactive to and eating, what, whole foods, organic foods?
Well, exactly. You know, I you know, in my book, Healing Without Hurting, I talk about, you know, doing Evan's diet, you know, because there are so many diets out there, especially now.
Right. It's confusing to parents.
Right. So what I really appreciated was to do the testing to figure out what is his issue specifically. And although many of the treatments are similar from one child to the next, there are very, you know, there are some differences that it's helpful to know by doing some extensive testing. So we did try to do some of the GAPS diet. You know, we kind of abbreviated it a little bit because he was a five-year-old child, and, like, getting him to just do pure bone broths for 6 weeks, well, that wasn't going to work. And I remember, you know, having to give this five-year-old child, like, slippery elm, which basically tastes like a tree, like, if you tasted it. And I remember, like, having to just, you know, take a needleless syringe and, you know, just kind of, like, get it into him one way or the other. And, you know, people would think I was mean for doing that, but it's like, well, you're trying to save your child, so I know it doesn't taste good, but that's not the point. The point is just to heal the body. So we knew we had to do these things. But, yes, we were very, you know, we did pull, you know, the foods, but we also started reading labels. We started recognizing, you know, organic food was better. Although I was, you know, as babies, I was feeding them organic food. I think instinctively a lot of us will do that. And then once they turn two, you know, I was giving them McDonald's once in a while. Not often, but once in a while, right? And then you go, oh, wait a minute, you know, or blue cake from Costco that, you know, you don't realize what you're doing when you're doing it. And so when I look back at videos of that, I go, ooh, that's not good. And so we start changing a lot. I mean, honestly, when you pull the gluten, you're really taking the processed foods out of the diet pretty quickly anyway, because most of it is full of wheat and, you know, anyway.
We've talked about this in other interviews, but maybe you could just address the idea of food allergies, that these are not life-threatening allergies like to shellfish or strawberries or bee stings. These are more food sensitivities. Is that right?
Yeah, well, exactly. So there's two different types of, there's IgG sensitivities and IgE sensitivities, and often, like, if you go to an allergist, they'll just test you for, you know, anaphylactic-type allergies.
Right.
So the good news is most of our kids, although some of our kids do have those life-threatening food allergies, most of our kids have more sensitivity to different foods. So they may not have celiac disease, which, you know, the gastroenterologist was like, oh, no, he's fine. He can eat gluten. He doesn't have celiac, was what we're told. So
and
then
he has
a naturopath, and she's like, yeah, very highly sensitive, which just causes an inflammatory reaction in the gut. Causes the gut to get very, you know, we hear about leaky gut, you know, gut permeability, where then the foods, all foods, then start sort of leaking into the bloodstream, and then the body goes haywire because says, why are the foods in the bloodstream? And you start reacting to a lot of things. You know, it could also cause some mast cell activation, which, you know, wasn't really understood as much as it is today. That's something that would probably be more in my book today than it was before, but a lot of the symptoms that the kids are experiencing is also sort of like this high histamine reaction. So even if you're not anaphylaxis, you could still have, you know, your body sort of reacting in like an inflammatory kind of way. And, you know,
so you really got up on the nutritional stuff. Did you take courses or did you just learned as you went?
So I kind of learned as I went. I read, like, every single book on the topic. Like, I think Compromised Generation, Beth Lambert, was one of the first books I read. I read all of, you know, the Jenny McCarthy books at that time, and anything I can get a hold of, Dr. Bach's book. And then I started reading medical journals and really trying to dig deep into what was causing this, why is this happening, understanding the autoimmune assaults that were coming from all different places in our universe and our, you know, in our supply, you know, in our environment. I was like starting to get nervous about all things and starting to do the deep dive. And doing so, then I recognized, like, well, I can give my child this food, but it's like poison to his system. So although other kids may be able to tolerate it, I just had to look at it like it was poisoning my son. And in doing so, that was the only way to get me through the seemingly hard task of having to pull foods away from, you know, a child that you want them to enjoy food. You want them to go to a birthday party and eat like everybody else.
Did you start applying this knowledge to your clients? Were you still working at this point?
Yeah, so I was working at this point, and, you know, interestingly, when my book came out about 2012, between 2012 and 2014, I actually left my psychotherapy practice that, you know, had a lot of, you know, psychiatrists, and I started my own practice, and in doing so, I then, you know, got a hold of some naturopathic physicians, so I've been very fortunate to have naturopathic physicians in my psychotherapy practice. Working alongside me. So that's been fantastic because, you know, I get a kid just 2 years ago, you know, comes to me and she's been on 10 million psych meds and she's on things for sleep and she's dizzy and she has neuropathy and, you know, she's 14 years old. And I'm saying, you know, is this Lyme disease? Like, do you have PANS? And she's like, what's that? And so I'm able to march her over to the naturopath and have them do a full workup on her. And lo and behold, you know, she was on the path to healing after that. And so, yes, I have, you know, obviously some of my clients, you know, are willing to be to go there. And I plant seeds and hope that they water the garden. And sometimes it's successful and sometimes it's not. But at least I'm able to provide them the resources to look elsewhere if they so choose.
So you really changed the flavor of your practice from more allopathic to naturopathic, but you were still doing counseling and therapy just with a different approach.
Yeah, at least some different knowledge base. You know, so I do specialize in trauma, and I realized that trauma and stress could also reduce, you know, our immune system, you know, could affect our immune system. So, you know, for I really feel at this point in my life that if or anxiety or anything like that, that very often there's some underlying condition as well.
Well, Jen, we need to take a break, and when we come back, I want to talk more about your book and healing without hurting. What is the hurting part, and how do we find the things that heal? You're listening to The Autism Detective. This is Patricia Lemmer with my guest today, Jen Kozak, the author of Healing Without Hurting. We'll be right back.
Get the roadmap you're looking for to help those with autism. Veteran counselor Patricia Lemmer's book, Outsmarting Autism, gives you all the resources you need to develop a strong foundation for a healthy lifestyle at any age. It describes many new therapies for improving communication, socialization, and behavior by treating underlying biomedical causes. Learning to prioritize therapies saves you time and money. Get answers now. Buy her book at OutsmartingAutism.com. You'll be glad you did.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
Stuff, stuff, stuff. Where can I contain all of my stuff? How about this? The Container Store, the original storage and organization store. And I found their link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. They have containers for everything, including the kitchen, the bathroom, trash and recycling, traveling, spring cleaning, and dorm rooms. Just about everything you can think of to contain your stuff. The Container Store, right on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Audiobooks gives you instant access to over 50,000 of the bestsellers and hottest book titles in romance, mystery, fiction, and many other genres. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Audiobooks to get started.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to the Autism Detective. My guest today, Jen Kozak, a licensed professional counselor and therapist in Connecticut, has a practice where she's aligned herself with naturopaths and alternative approaches to healing without hurting. Jen, I love the title of your book. Your book came out originally about 10 years ago and then was reissued. Was it updated or revised?
It was updated a little bit. Yep, there are a couple things that had changed. So 2018-19, it was republished with the update.
Yeah. So what is the hurting part? What are we avoiding?
So you know, going down the rabbit hole for myself and not wanting my children to get on medication for anxiety, depression, ADHD. You know, of course I do the deep dive, but I also have experience working with kids that are on certain medications, and I just noticed that, like, they would not be on a medication, and the medication would make them, you know, have insomnia. So then they were put on a sleeping medication, and then the sleeping medication was causing them to, you know, to be constipated. So then they were, you know, taking Miralax, and it just was a never-ending story.
Right.
No one was getting to the root cause of it. So, you know, when I started writing my book, I had to do more of a deep dive into, well, what, you know, how dangerous are these medications? You know, obviously, if someone's in a really bad state, you know, obviously, sometimes we need to use these things as a bridge until we can heal. And then, you know, possibly the goal would be to take the medication away at some point if necessary. But one of the things I noticed, you know, most of our kids on the spectrum are very picky eaters. And one of the reasons they're very picky eaters is because their gut is inflamed and they don't, you know, they can't tolerate, you know, like a piece of broccoli because it will hurt their gut. And so, again, we need to address the gut and heal the gut. And then all of a sudden, kids start welcoming food. And what I noticed, too, is when you put someone, a kid on a stimulant drug, you're just basically reducing their, you know, their hunger. I mean, it's a stimulant, so it's like a diet pill. And so here we have kids that are already not eating well. Another thing contributing is nutritional deficiencies, and I'm noticing that when you're not eating food, and then the only thing these kids seem to want to eat when they do want to eat is carbohydrates and sugar, because sugar is very easy to digest, and so they're not getting any nutrients. Their body is getting just basically sugar, which is tanking their immune systems even more. They're not getting nutrient-dense food, and so psychostimulants, although seemingly may help with ADD symptoms, will backfire because you're not getting the nutrients that you need. So even just from that perspective, you know, as far as SSRIs, some of them will make you, you know, kind of, you know, have stomach aches and things like that. So that's going to work against the healing process. You know, and then the nutritional deficiencies being another issue, because when you, you know, read certain literature, you recognize from the medical journals that certain medication actually reduces nutrient levels in your body. So it works like an anti-mineral. So you take these meds, for example, could reduce your magnesium level. Well, magnesium is one of the most important things for anti-stress. So here you are taking a medication for anxiety, which is depleting your magnesium, which then is going to backfire because your body needs magnesium not to be stressed. So it's like a whole thing, you know, when you, and that's not even looking at the black.
A domino effect, isn't it?
And the domino effect, right, of when we take a medication, there are side effects, and most people will say, yeah, but they're not that bad. Well, when you start looking about the hippocampus being affected by, say, ADHD medication, and that it could potentially cause Alzheimer's later or dementia, like long-term use of these medications may not be the best in anyone's best interest.
Right. Now, in the title of your book, you say that your recommendations are for ADHD, autism, apraxia, the whole gamut. You're not focused just on autism. How is that
possible? Well, it's interesting because I really should have just titled the book Autoimmune Disorders. Because if you really read it and you really pay attention to it, we're talking about every single autoimmune disorder, and I think there's like, I don't know, 110 listed.
Whoa.
So everybody could use this book, honestly. But, yes, very specific things. You know, ADHD, autism, you know, what I've learned and discovered is they're very similar treatments when you're looking at the whole picture as far as toxicity, nutritional deficiencies, gut biome, and I really do feel that it's sort of ADHD sort of being on the same spectrum as autism, and it just depends on what degree we're talking about.
You and I agree on that. You know, when I published my book, Outsmarting Autism, a friend of mine took some duct tape, and she covered up the word autism, and she wrote on it everything.
Right.
So the new title was Outsmarting Everything.
You know, and she's right, and you should have named it maybe Everything in Healing with Heart, Hearing Everything. Yeah, I mean, seriously,
and
it is really.
And I came up into the autism world through learning disabilities, ADHD, even cerebral palsy and Down syndrome when we discovered that the cognitive issues associated with Downs were not associated with the genetics of Downs, but rather with the metabolic issues. And Kent McLeod up in Canada started supplementing babies with Down syndrome, even in utero, and got normal cognitive development out of them. So
wow.
It's quite amazing how we've really changed our thinking and how similar your odyssey and mine have been even to our degrees. So, Jen, tell people how to find you. If they're interested in talking to you or learning from you, how can they find you?
Yeah, so my healing is healingwithouthurting.com is my website, and healingwithouthurting@gmail is my email address, so that makes it easy.
It sure is.
I'm also on Facebook as Healing ADHD and Asperger's Without Hurting. Those are the main places I am on. I do have a little bit of a following on Instagram, but, you know, when Facebook first came is where I put all my energy in the beginning, and so more of them are on there. But so I do post, you know, mostly daily when I, you know, can come up with some really good content. So
now
yeah.
You go to a lot of conferences, too, don't you?
Yeah, so yeah, I've been, you know, so I was at the Autism One conference for years, speaking at that, and then there's Autism Health now. I think the next conference is going to be in San Diego in April, which kind of, you know.
Is that Tracy?
Yep, that's Tracy. Yep. So, yeah.
And,
I mean,
and I've interviewed her.
Yeah, she's great. Warrior
mom. Yep.
Yep. So she's really
are you going to become going to Washington D.C. for the Integrative Mental Health Conference?
I have been to it in the past, but I'm not scheduled to go to it this year. Although I really need to go to it because it's really amazing, and I, you know, all our people are there. So
it really is amazing. I'm going to go to that.
Oh.
Jen, it's time for another break. When we come back, I'd like you to talk about some of the programs that you've developed, your ebook, and you have a film, and some other things that people might be interested in. You're listening to the Autism Detective. Stay tuned. We'll learn more from Jen Kozak.
Get the roadmap you're looking for to help those with autism. Veteran counselor Patricia Limmer's book, Outsmarting Autism, gives you all the resources you need to develop a strong foundation for a healthy lifestyle at any age. It describes many new therapies for improving communication, socialization, and behavior by treating underlying biomedical causes. Learning to prioritize therapies saves you time and money. Get answers now. Buy her book at OutsmartingAutism.com. You'll be glad you did.
Shh! Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to the Autism Detectives. This is Patricia Lemmer. Jen Kozak has been telling us about her natural approach to the whole gamut of autoimmune disorders, ADHD, autism, PANS, you name it, and why we should avoid medications which have horrific side effects. Jen, you told us how to reach you. If people want your e-book. Tell us about the e-book that you wrote.
Yeah, so on my website, healingwithouthurting.com, there is just like a starter book. It's really, you know, a pamphlet, basically. But it is a good, like, kind of starting point. And my website also has many articles, which are fantastic starting points for people on everything from pans and pandas to natural remedies for ADHD, for sleep issues, and so forth and so on. So there's lots of information on there, which is easy. And then I also work with Dr. James Lyon Wilder, who is part of IPAC, and he does courses. And I teach a 15-week course, usually about an hour per class plus Q&A. And
what's the course called?
So it's called Functional Medicine Practices for Mental Health and Beyond, I believe, something to that effect.
And how many segments does it have?
So it has 15, it's a 15-week course.
Whoa.
So everyone gets, you know, the video version of it. But I'm going to be teaching it live this year. I believe it's going to start after September 10th, and I'm going to be doing it during the day, because the last time I taught the class was in the evening. So now I'm going to be doing it during the day, and this way if people can't hop on, they can always get the video after. So, you know, it's a pretty comprehensive course on all things that I discuss in my book. And my book also goes into, like, all the therapeutic advances, like acupuncture and all the different types of therapies people can be looking for. Because, unfortunately, our mainstream doctors aren't necessarily pointing people into the right direction for things that could be very helpful. So, you know, that's important.
How could acupuncture help someone on the spectrum?
So, fantastic. So, acupuncture, you know, has been around for thousands of years.
Right.
You know, basically Chinese medicine. They usually use a lot of herbals, too, for medical purposes. But, for example, you could reset the whole autonomic nervous system, right, which regulates the immune system by using acupuncture in certain points just on the back. So, on like between the shoulder blades is actually points in a triangle sort of on your back.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the points, for example, for resetting your autonomic nervous system. So it's really, really helpful for a lot of the symptoms of autism spectrum, a lot of the mental health symptoms as well as the physical symptoms, because it also sends energy. So, for example, if somebody has tics, like a tic disorder, very often that's a boggy liver in Chinese medicine, and so it would help the body to detox more effectively if you open up. It's called liver qi. Right, so liver qi is running a meridian point down the body, so it actually helps the body to self-regulate and also helps the body to detox. It can help the body to do a whole host of things that, because we're really energy at the end of the day, and so
amazing.
Very often it almost overrides like other problems that are happening. So it could be very beneficial. I mean, some kids have sensory problems with, like, little tiny needles, even though they're really not that, you know, they don't hurt, really. But some kids are so, so sensitive. So there's other modalities that the book talks about, too, like acupressure. A lot of the chiropractors are using something called total body modification, which is a form of acupuncture, but it's not using needles, to kind of reset the immune system, to clear certain pathogens from the body energetically, you know, quite fascinating. So some people are going to believe, some people won't believe, but I have to say, because we've done it from personal experience, you know, my daughter could walk into a session feeling terrible. She walks out like a totally different person. So something happened in her body.
Something happened, for sure. You moved the qi around, the energy around.
The qi, which is the energy around, yes, and actually saved my son from a surgery because he was premature. He had undescended testicles, too, and, you know, let's add to the things that he had. And they were talking surgery because, you know, right before puberty, they said, you know, it's dangerous. We have to get, you know, and we just did acupuncture, and within three sessions, it was all fixed.
And no kidding. Wow.
Thing. So, you know, and that's interesting because that's an organ on the outside of the body, so we wouldn't necessarily always be able to witness something miraculous happening. But I was actually able to witness it, you know, so it was pretty phenomenal. So I give it a lot of credit. And, you know, they use a lot of muscle testing and things like that, which is more energy work as well. So most people...
What form of muscle testing do you use?
So, I mean, there's many different forms. I mean, people use where, you know, the finger where you just push your fingers together and you could try to break the finger apart. You could do the leaning exercise where you put like a supplement up to you and, you know, yes and no, because the body knows what it wants and what it doesn't want. So, or what needs to be addressed first. So that could be a whole thing. You know, some people are like, well, there's 17 things going on. Like, where should we start?
So it's really great for prioritizing, isn't it?
Prioritizing is fantastic for that, too.
Yeah. I have been trained with Dr. Klinghardt's ART, the autonomic response testing.
Yes.
And I use it a dozen times a day for dosing my supplements, for choosing what to have for breakfast, for all kinds of stuff. And as you say, the body knows, and it's really very, very helpful in managing symptoms, the change every day. And if you dose your supplements the same every day, you're not adjusting to changes that as you get healthier, or maybe you're sick one day.
Right, exactly. It's very, very, very helpful.
And how about homeopathy? Are you using that or recommending
that? Homeopathy, any energy medicine, I'm like totally into. So, yes, and there are practitioners that specialize in our kids, PANS, PANDAS, autism. But, yes, yeah, so, again, very, like, you know, I have a whole, you know, closet full of homeopathic remedies for just general things like nausea or someone's getting sick or whatever. But it is a very amazing tool when people are homeopaths, because they know what to dose, how long to dose, what to do, and you know, I've seen great changes with that as well. So I didn't know that naturopathic medicine and homeopathic medicine weren't interchangeable terms when I first started to do this. But it is a very specialized art, really.
But they're very compatible. They're complementary.
Yes, and I love it, too, because you could be doing other things alongside homeopathy. It's not going to interfere with each other.
Right.
Which I really like.
And if it's not the right remedy, then nothing happens. It does what you say. It heals without hurting.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And it's been used, again, for thousands of years, and many, many cultures have been using it very successfully. And, you know, if people really look into it, it's really like what the vaccines are meant to do, which is to match, you know, to elicit the right autoimmune response situation.
Right.
So, very helpful.
Good. Yeah. Jen, we need to take our last break. And when we come back, I'd like to return to the topic of trauma a little more. Is that okay?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. You're listening to the Autism Detectives. We'll be right back.
You know, when my grandson takes a long car trip, he listens to audiobooks. A long drive seems faster, and sometimes he doesn't want to get out of the car because the book isn't finished. With over 100,000 books, Audible.com is one of the best places to get audiobooks. You can listen to a bestseller anytime, anywhere. Audible.com, your destination for the widest selection of audiobooks. Join millions of listeners. Just go to the Audible.com on HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click.
Get the roadmap you're looking for to help those with autism. Veteran counselor Patricia Lemmer's book, Outsmarting Autism, gives you all the resources you need to develop a strong foundation for a healthy lifestyle at any age. It describes many new therapies for improving communication, socialization, and behavior by treating underlying biomedical causes. Learning to prioritize therapies saves you time and money. Get answers now. Buy her book at OutsmartingAutism.com. You'll be glad you did.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to the Autism Detective. I'm having a fascinating conversation today with Jen Kozak, the author of Healing Without Hurting. And Jen, as a licensed professional counselor and therapist, got into this after she was trained because of her son, Evan, who was showing signs of autoimmune issues, malabsorption, and she went searching for the underlying pathologies and found all kinds of stuff, right, Jen?
Yes, absolutely. You're surprised what you find when you look.
Yep. So you mentioned trauma.
Yes.
Can you talk about trauma with Evan? Was that an issue for him?
Yeah, well, you know, I find it really, so, you know, as a therapist, I specialize in trauma specifically, and like I was beginning to say before, I do think that, you know, what is mental health? Like, I do think that it has a large component to do with the biomedical stuff that we're speaking of, and that it's not just genetics. Like, I know everyone wants to chalk it up to genetics, but the other interesting piece of it is trauma. So some people don't realize that they experience trauma because they think trauma has to be huge. It has to be, you know, catastrophic thing that happened to them. But paper cuts hurt, as I always tell people, and so even if it's a little trauma, a lot builds up over time, and a little trauma to a child could be feel like a bigger trauma.
So and it's how your body and brain experience that assault. It might not be a big deal, but your teacher yelling at you in kindergarten could have been experienced as a huge trauma.
And for and for our sensitive kids, and I say they're sensitive because I think that that's one of the common denominators of all kids on the spectrum, kids with anxiety. They're just very sensitive. They're sensitive to the energy of other people. They're sensitive to food. They're sensitive to a lot of things, you know. So they tend to be sensitive to that. And a lot of our kids, unfortunately, may have speech issues. I mean, they may stutter or they may have other things. They may have been bullied. You know, they experience medical trauma.
Right.
So all of that, you know, collaboration, like in order to completely heal, like I do think that, you know, my book talks about all the different therapies, you know, acupuncture being one, and obviously psychotherapy being another for some kids is very monumental as part of their recovery. So I do something called EMDR. So it's interesting, I've had lately a lot of kids that had food aversions and allergies or sensitivities, but now they can eat. These things because, you know, their testing is showing that they can in some cases. And now the mom's like, but I wish they would eat a hamburger. They won't eat it because they have so much, like, trauma around eating. Like, picky eating.
So explain EMDR.
EMDR is called Eye Movement Desensitization Technique. And what it does is it helps reprogram the brain. So basically when you have a trauma of any kind, your amygdala, which it goes kind of on overdrive, and so you tend to loop. Sometimes it could look like an OCD where you tend to loop in the trauma. So, for example, if eating a hamburger was traumatic for you and you were always sick every time you ate it, and you're always afraid of throwing up, right? That's the trauma. So they constantly are looping. I'm going to throw up. It becomes their core belief. And so what we have to do is interrupt the loop. So EMDR is a bilateral stimulation. So as it vibrates, say, on your right hand, your left brain turns on, which is your problem-solving brain. So it's really about getting the problem-solving brain back online. And so, for example, like I could talk to a client and say, well, you're fine now. You're not allergic to beef anymore. You can eat this hamburger. But their brains are so wired because whatever wired together. So now we need to interrupt the loop. And that might include, like, well, you had a hamburger, you know, 2 weeks ago and you were fine. And, like, remember the blood work you did and the blood work shows that you are okay now. And so you have to sort of reprogram the brain.
Reset that.
And by doing so, we bring up the trauma. And we have them experience what it feels like in their body, and then at the same time, we interrupt the loop with the bilateral stimulation. And
it's so important, I think, that it's a physical experience, just like the trauma was. You can't just talk about this.
Right.
You can talk, and do therapy, psychotherapy, till the cows come home. But if you don't do something energetic and physical, it's very hard to break that loop. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Because it goes into our subconscious mind. So I'll use hypnosis, some hypnotherapy sometimes too, but EMDR will get there too. It's really just about accessing and getting the body so calm that you can access that part that belief has a belief system because of what the trauma was. And it is a body thing, like the body keeps the score. You know, very often people think anxiety is a feeling, but actually anxiety is a reaction to a feeling.
And I love that The Body Keeps the Score. That's a book that everybody should look at. It's quite remarkable.
Quite remarkable. And you know, as parents of children on the spectrum, like, we need this care just as much as they do. And so whether it's cranial sacral therapy and we're doing body work, getting a massage, you know, going to psychotherapy and getting EMDR, it's just as important as us as parents. And, you know, especially the moms who tend to be the medical CEOs often, that we are also doing things for ourselves to help ourselves. Because this, you know, it's not an easy task to be doing all these things. And it's not cheap to do all these things. And it's traumatic and it brings a lot of stress to the family. And so as much as we help our kids, we have to help ourselves. And including the diet, you know, like I noticed, like even in our family, like when we all got on board, we all felt better. You know, I was
That's such an important point. I'm glad you brought that up.
You know,
so let's go back to Evan. How's he doing?
So he's phenomenal. So he's 18. He's looking at colleges. You know, because he was a preemie and he was so delayed, we had left him back because he would have graduated this past year, but he's graduating this coming, you know, which is fine.
And what did he do, a special school program, or was he mainstreamed?
So he was mostly mainstreamed. He had a couple pullouts for reading, a little bit of math, but he was in everything else pretty much mainstreamed all the way. You know, he was always the model citizen in the group. He was always the one that everyone looks for. I'm just so proud of him in that, you know, he became like the mayor of the school socially. Everyone
wow.
loves him. Everyone
and what's he thinking
him.
About
what was
in
that?
Terms of a career? Is it too soon?
So he wants to go into something to do with physical therapy, which I think is fascinating. Of course he does. He's had physical therapy in his life, his entire life. He really loves sports, so he would really love to be able to, you know, be, you know, an athletic trainer with the sports teams or a physical therapy assistant possibly. But he's very interested in sports and he's very interested in helping people. So, you know, he's going to, you know, we're looking into different programs for him, different schools for him to see, you know, what will be the best fit for him for next year. He's very determined to go away to college.
Good for him.
Yeah, and he says funny things like, I need to go to a college, but they can't all be like me. Like, he wants to be, like, in the mainstream everything. Like, he doesn't want to go to a special ed school at all.
Uh-huh.
He's like, there could be some kids like me, but not everyone like me. I'm like, okay, that's fine, you know. You know, he just still has some learning challenges and some stuff that, you know, he'll need some, you know, some accommodations. But generally, I couldn't ask for more. And he's just such a happy kid. And that's the most important thing to me, honestly.
And wasn't he lucky to have you as a mom to guide him and help him heal without hurting?
Exactly. He's so happy. And I never wanted to take that spirit from him. And that's what I saw so often with my clients, you know, on the meds, you know. It just took a spark away. And,
yeah. Well, Jen, I think the work you're doing is great. You and I haven't met, I don't think, even at Autism One.
Yeah,
but
we met through Epidemic Answers. We did a little bit, and we worked on that.
Oh, we did. I remember.
Yeah.
Yep.
Co-wrote the book, Brain Under
Attack. Yep, yep.
But we all did that sort of virtually, because it was during that time of
yeah.
my life.
Well, I wish you lots of luck, and hopefully I'll meet you soon again at a conference.
Yeah.
And I just think your book is great, Healing Without Hurting, and just keep on doing what you're doing.
Thanks so much, Patty. Appreciate it. And you keep doing what you're doing, because you guys are doing amazing work with Epidemic Answers and everywhere else that you've done work. You know, you've dedicated your whole life to these kids as well. So,
long time. And I'm retired now, not working with Epidemic Answers or anybody, but I am trying to figure out what to do with my book, but that's a whole other story. So thanks again, Jen.
Oh, thank you. If there's anything I could do to help, give me a mind.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Get the roadmap you're looking for to help those with autism. Veteran counselor Patricia Lemmer's book, Outsmarting Autism, gives you all the resources you need to develop a strong foundation for a healthy lifestyle at any age. It describes many new therapies for improving communication, socialization, and behavior by treating underlying biomedical causes. Learning to prioritize therapies saves you time and money. Get answers now. Buy her book at OutsmartingAutism.com. You'll be glad you did.
One of the best things about the technology available today is being able to listen to HealthyLife.net on the go or while I'm at work. Typically, headphones or earphones are required, and let's face it, sometimes they break or get worn out or lost. To find my latest solution to this, I found the Earphone Solutions website while browsing the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. There are plenty of options from basic inexpensive on-the-go earphones to studio-quality headphones for when I really have time to enjoy everything from rock to bach. Earphone Solutions on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
I'm William Shatner, and this is Jimmy. Animals like Jimmy are often left behind by people fleeing hurricanes, fires, floods, and earthquakes. These abandoned animals cannot survive on their own. If you must evacuate your home, please never leave an animal behind. If you absolutely cannot take your animal with you, never leave them helplessly chained or caged. Many animals die because they cannot escape fires or rising waters. Animals need your help. Thank you.
Call PETA today, 757-622-PETA.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.